This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And here we go again on the John Gambling Show Friday get-together. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, part of the action. Good morning, sir.
You did notice a few weeks ago when I put my finger in the ways to defend the public on Groundhog Day, declared that the groundhog... declared the groundhog did not see a shadow, therefore winter would be short. It's going to be 40 and 45 the next 3 days. Come on.
Yeah, we also had eight inches of snow.
I had. I keep saying I look forward. I don't relive the past.
Okay. Nice to see you. Anything else about the weather today?
No, I think that's
today?
About it.
I think
that pretty much takes
care of it?
Yeah, life's good.
All right. Life is good. Now, listen, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a lady by the name of Isha called in with a question.
If you had asked me, would it take 2 weeks to get an answer? I mean, we probably could have done it a little bit quicker, but I have an answer. You want to know what it is?
What's the answer? No, we have to state the question first.
The question was, do retirees from the MTA get free Metro cards? The answer, like everything else in government, ain't simple, okay?
You mean it's not a one answer?
It is more complicated than I ever realized to get to the bottom of this. Jeff Kay's staff has been working night and day, 7 days a week.
The city has virtually come to a halt getting an answer to that.
Yeah, but keep in mind, and I'm not, here I'm going to really annoy everybody, I'm walking away, this is a state agency. Not that if it was city it would be better, I'm not saying that, I'm just pointing that out. It turns out that MTA is required to give TW, Transit Workers Union, retirees a free Metro card once they begin receiving their pension payments. And for some groups, that could be as early as 50 years old. For some, it's as late as 62 years old. It is unclear whether this is in their contract. Nobody could quite figure it out. But it has been a practice for so long that it has to be collectively bargained with the union if you change it. That's just the way the law is. Don't tell me why the state law is that way. Don't ask me. Nothing I can do about it. If you do something for a long time, you can't just walk in and change it. The columnist,
even if it's not contractual.
The columnist, you know, say, you should do this. You know, okay. You can't. Right. That's the law. So, okay. So we'd have to bargain it, or the MTA would have to bargain it with the Transit Workers Union. Now, for former employees of the Long Island Railroad and Metro North, which are also part of the MTA, both they and their spouses receive free passes upon receiving retirement benefits. And you say, okay, how many people are? Well, we think there's about 15,000 transit retirees, 4,900 retirees of the Long Island Railroad, and an additional 3,700 spouses, and about 3,000 Metro North retirees and spouses combined. We don't have that broken out.
So we have 25,000 people.
Now, let me also put this in perspective. This ain't the MTA's big problem, okay? I mean, if the MTA, and I don't know what happened when they negotiated, if they got something they wanted in return for giving a free Metro card to a relatively small number of people, you're not talking about lots of people here, and they got better employees or more harder working employees or they worked longer hours or were more flexible or something, it may very well have been a good deal for the MTA, and it's easy to go back and criticize them now. It is also true, as somebody pointed out unfairly, that if you carry some more people, your costs don't really go up. So if they didn't have these out there, it's true they might get a little more revenue, although how many retirees still live in the city and using it, I don't know. But they're also true they didn't have to put more buses and more subways on. What really is annoying is this argument that, well, it doesn't cost the MTA anything to give kids rides, after all. You don't have to put more trains and buses on the routes. Let the kids just get on for free. That is technically true, except that they would not get the revenues that they need, and all money's fungible. And I'm sympathetic to, I think this guy, Jay Walder, who is running the MTA, is such a breath of fresh air. This is the best appointment that David Paterson has ever made. He is the right guy for the right time. He understands the problem. He's tough. He's fair. He's compassionate. He works as hard as anybody I've ever seen. He takes every one of the buses and every one of the subways. He knows what he's talking about. been there before, got a worldwide perspective because he worked in London, so he knows, you know, for the underground there, so has lots of experience and contacts. And if anybody can carry this agency through, it's him. Having said all that, it's, you know, the state takes away their money and then goes and screams about it. And the state turned down one plan a few years ago that would have given them a lot of money to improve the service with capital monies that would be generated by tolls. And they said they'd do better, and they haven't been able to do better. The governor's office or the legislature, I don't know which, grossly misestimated the amount of revenue they would get from this so-called mobility tax, which is really just a commuter tax, except you have the employer pay rather than the employee pay. So politically, it's easier. It gets hidden a little bit. And I don't know whether I would have done any better at estimating or not, but it's just hard to predict the future. We got a big problem with the MTA. It's the part that I use, the subways. Took the subway this morning, I can tell you. I got down to the track, looked down the line, no train. Read one page of the paper, the train had arrived, got on, it's perfect stops, people were friendly. Some woman said to me, I work in my company, I love you, and I've got everybody there, they think you're doing a great job. So, of course, I was happy this morning.
Of course.
And then I got off.
I wondered why you were smiling when you came in. They did a nice lady.
The subways, at least the subways I take work perfectly, and in all the years I've been taking them, is so much better than when I came in 1966.
You know, it's interesting about this question from Isha. About the retirees of the MTA with Metro passes and the things that you've just said in the last couple of minutes, because it is so very small, yet it is, I think, representative of the much larger issue that Chris Christie's dealing with his freeze on transit for NJT. Also, it comes to benefits that have been negotiated in the past and how we deal with the ever expanding costs in the future.
Right. Well, this is not one that really expands.
Correct.
But the trouble is, this is so visual. I mean, and the, you know, we focus on these little things. What we really should be focusing on is why we haven't been making investments in new technology for the MTA, which would allow you to do things with fewer workers, which would reduce your costs and would stop this need for increased fares, which is going to come. I mean, they're budgeted for next year. Maybe they can't even get through this year without them.
But you know the fight they've gone through to get the automated train. I mean, the unions go crazy over this.
They go crazy, but that's management's job is to fight. The trouble is that what's happened, at least in the city, we negotiate a deal with the unions, and then they go to Albany, and Albany gives them pension benefits, which are bankrupting us. That's fundamentally. And every once in a while, the Albany interferes.
That's really what I was talking about, benefits.
Yeah, pensions. Or, for example, we have different bus companies. When you see a bus go by, look just on the driver's side, maybe it's on the other side as well, but I always notice on the driver's side, just under the driver's window, Mescapa or New York City bus. You say, what are those? Of course it's a bus. Yes, it's a New York City bus. It's also a bus for the New York City bus company as opposed to some of the other bus companies that are also part of the MTA, each one with their own legal staff,
right.
Human resources staff.
This is crazy.
That you can't maintain a bus from one company in another garage, and it's Albany that won't let them do it. Or bus having cameras on buses to catch people driving in the bus lanes, which would, if you freed them up, if we could give people tickets, they wouldn't drive there, and then the buses would be better alternative to driving, and everybody would be better off.
You know, I talk to a lot of people from
those
Albany, including from the governor on down, on a regular basis, and when I tell them, as they complain about the MTA, I say, well, that you're in charge. And everybody goes, no, we're not in charge. It's a separate agency. I say, come on. You're fooling me with this talk.
Well, they're in charge when they want to court favor and get favorable treatment for their campaigns. Then they're in charge.
Right. And otherwise, they don't want to
know. You got it.
Don't want to know nothing about
now,
it.
Now that you know how government, and at your age, you're surprised by all of this.
No, not at all.
You should, you know.
Not at all.
Your father and grandfather wouldn't have been, because it was the same then, maybe even worse.
Well, maybe so. I mean, it'd be interesting to, I'm sure there are historians out there that can tell you about the subway system, because they were independently owned.
My mother, there's a judge who just gave me a film, which I'm going to try to watch this weekend, a PBS thing on, it's called Ribbon of Steel, I think, and it's a DVD about the New York City subway system.
The history.
But my mother always says the good old days were never the good old days.
Okay. All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on there. Let's take a break real fast and, of course, open up the telephones, 800-321-0710. Isha got her question answered. You will as well if you can get past Figs here. Again, 800-321-0710. 22 minutes after 8, 822. John Gambling here with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. You are encouraged, 800-321-0710.
I'll tell you something else they're encouraged to do. If you want to do something nice and have a good time, there is a four-mile run and walk to benefit relief efforts for Haiti in Central Park this Saturday. You pay $40, which the money goes to Haiti, and you get a chance to sweat and hang on for dear life and have a good time.
The weather's supposed to be pretty good for that, too.
Weather is supposed to be great.
Thank you to what you did there for,
So far we've raised something like $370,000.
How's the checkoff going?
I don't know, because it took a while to kick in, a few weeks. But if you want to make a donation to this, 311 or nyc.gov, it begins at 9 o'clock on the East Drive near 68th and a four-mile loop around the park. Be fine.
All right. Not a pleasant subject. Your reaction to what happened to Bernie Kerik yesterday, 4-year sentence.
I'm not a judge. I don't know what's an appropriate sentence. I thought a little bit I read in the paper, he said that he let himself get carried away, abused his, and I think that's fair. You have to ask Rudy whether he was a good commissioner and that sort of thing. I don't know. I wasn't in government at the time. I think Rudy probably thought that he was, or Rudy would have replaced him. And whether he did a good job or a bad job at that had nothing to do with what he did later on. The disturbing thing is the White House nominated him without doing any research. And he had had some problems, nice ways to phrase it. And if you just Googled him, you wouldn't have to do a lot of research. And I'm sympathetic in the sense that once you pick somebody, you want to get it announced, lock them in, get them going. And then when your staff says, no, wait until we do. And even then, you don't find everything.
Yes, there's been evidence.
In this case, if I were him, I would never, never have taken that job or accepted the nomination, knowing full well they're going to come up with every crazy thing in your
and
background.
Then some.
And yeah, maybe and then some. So it's the nicest thing to say is it's sad.
It is, yes.
He's an individual. I really don't know him very well. I've shaken his hand, I'm sure, a number of times back when. Seen him since, 8, 9 years. Just sad. It's a sad commentary on.
Did you see the Quinnipiac? I know you probably did. The Quinnipiac poll about the soda tax and the salt and the calories on the menus.
What the
positive reaction?
Well, number one, in spite of what a handful of commentators say, the public is an awful lot smarter than they give them credit for. Public knows the salt. If you could reduce salt content a little bit to something like 90,000 lives that you would save. Smoking ban's become popular around the world. And my foundation keeps working on that around the world. We are making progress in other parts of the world. Public understands it's their health, and that's why life expectancy keeps going up in this city, and we want to make sure that continues. Do they think that you can do it with taxes? Yes. They're particularly interested, and it depends how you phrase the question, that those taxes go to help the budget. The public understands, and maybe Albany should listen. Public knows that we are going to have to do more with less, and maybe find some alternative revenue sources, like one for the MTA. But the interesting thing is the public is willing to accept revenue sources that accomplish another goal to improve society, that's the best. If you just have an income tax, you take away money, or a business tax, you take away money from people who would otherwise spend that money or create jobs. That's where most of the money comes from, and you have no choice. But if you could take away money to balance your budget, but also encourage people to leave their cars at home and take mass transit, or eat less salt, or don't eat trans fats, don't smoke. It's interesting with the salt thing that nobody's asking anybody to do anything. Voluntary, number one, and number two, it's not the consumer. It is the packaged good manufacturers, and they have an interest in doing this, and it doesn't cost them anything. What you have to do is just coordinate it, and they did that in Europe. In England, where over 5 years, all of the packaged good manufacturers, all of them, reduced their salt content by a little bit each year for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, the amount of salt in their products was significantly lower. But when you do it slowly over 5 years, nobody notices it.
You don't miss it.
If you did it overnight, it would hurt their business. This is a more rational way to do it. It'd be better if you did it overnight, but we have to be realistic about commerce and
how
people.
On earth did they organize and get cooperation like that?
I don't know. Somebody
worked. Amazing.
Well, you know, our Department of Health and Mental Hygiene is trying to do it, and no reason. Did we do it with trans fats? Did you miss trans fats? In all fairness,
I wouldn't know a trans fat.
That's
if
exactly.
I met one.
That's exactly right. And remember the stink about it. Except today, nobody uses them here, and all those products you couldn't have without trans fats. The taste would be different. Where? What are you talking? I mean. There's a lot of yelling and screaming based on misinformation. The one that I always loved is, you go back, you remember, we actually had taxi drivers, two groups, maybe one or two, struck for a few days until they realized nobody else was striking and went back to work because they didn't want the GPS in cars. Well, now GPS lets us measure traffic and lets us find your wallet if you left it in a car and all that sort of thing. But the drivers all love it because people can use their credit cards.
And they give them bigger tips as you,
much bigger
as you
tips,
promise would happen.
Much bigger tips. It's the same thing smoking in bars and restaurants. Now, I'm sure there's some journalist out there when I say this going to rush and find a bartender who doesn't agree. But most restaurants and most bars and most people that work in them would rather have the smoking ban in than not have it because they don't make any money when people smoke. They make money when people drink and eat. And if they drink and eat, the bills are bigger and then the tips are bigger and then the bar and restaurant makes more money and, you know.
While you're talking about taxing and revenue streams, what is your position from, this is theoretical, it's not terribly practical to New York at the moment, but it would affect us, on the VAT tax that people are talking about as for on the national basis?
Well, yeah, in Europe they use value-added taxes. And what the way a value-added tax works is it's a sales tax, but it's a sales tax at every level of the process. So the manufacturer collects a sales tax when he sells it to the wholesaler. The wholesaler charges a sales tax when he and remits it when he sells it to the retailer. And then the retailer sells it. So it's a little bit less painful. Whether or not, economists write PhDs theses on this all the time, whether it's better or worse, whether it's more or less regressive. In some senses, people say, oh, it's a lot more regressive because it's, in a sense, a sales tax. Sales taxes are more regressive. In one sense, they are because poor people don't have as much money, but wealthy people spend more. And in all fairness, some people say, well, it's not so regressive because there are a lot of things like food that sales taxes typically don't apply to, and that's a much bigger percentage of those at the lower end of the economic scale's expenses. So nobody likes taxes. But if you want cops and firefighters and teachers and everybody else to provide services, surprise, surprise, they want to earn a living because they got families too. And the ways that we get the money to do that is through fees or fares or taxes. And we're constantly trying to hide and the mobility tax. It's a commuter tax. We're trying to hide the cost by having the employer pay.
Right.
But. Yeah,
and there's all kinds of taxes. We were talking about it the other day. You look at a hotel bill. There's all sorts of. There's a Javits tax.
Look at your electric bill and your
cell phone bill.
I mean, that's what legislators do, and it's not just our legislature. It's legislators at every level of government around the country. They've got to pay the workers. And they don't want to tell the public that they're going to have to pay. But in the end, it's you and me and everybody else. We're going to pay for this. And in New York, I'm proud to say, we may be high taxes, but we have services that the rest of the country envies. Now, they may not choose to tax themselves and pay for that. Our police department costs us $8 billion a year. But it is the safest big city, the safest. I mean, let's
get to what you pay for.
You get exactly right. Our teachers, we have 80,000 teachers doing a spectacular job. You know, they always want to make more money, and there's always yelling and screaming. But the bottom line is the test scores go up and crime goes down, and then the kids are moving in. People are moving into the city to go to New York City public school systems. They're not leaving the way they did before. Well, it costs us $21 billion a year for our school system. So there's no free lunch here.
All right, speaking of paying for things, I need to do that. Also get everybody a news update, Mr. Mayor, 800-321-0710. Get online if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Give John a call now, 800-321-0710.
22 minutes before 9 o'clock, we seem to have, unfortunately, because it sounds like the same program every week, the same subject matter, World Trade Center, Larry Silverstein, 60 Minutes Sunday, whining about the whole project. And
Larry Silverstein, in all fairness, was asked, and we're trying to push everybody, was asked to put some more money in the game. He agreed to put $250 million of his own money in. He had a very rational plan, and I can tell you at this point, it is the Port Authority that has to come back. And if they don't come back rationally with something that is doable and doable now, we're going to have a hole in the ground. And I will try to get Chuck and everybody else who's all along said we got to get this going. We're all going to get together. This has just got to stop. Silverstein is a private developer, and the Port Authority has their constituency, their fiscal responsibility. But it's time to stop this craziness of everything, and we've just got to move forward here. And if we don't, you're going to see me out there beating the drums every day. I'm not going to leave this world with that hole in the ground 10 years from now. The economy is stopped going down. It's starting to get better. Real estate's starting to get better. This is the time to do it. We can still sign contracts with low prices for steel and concrete and labor. Now's the time to do it. If we wait, it will cost us a lot more money. People aren't going to move downtown as all this construction keeps going on and on and on. And this is the project that makes sense for everybody. And we asked him to come up with more money. He did. Now it's the Port Authority's turn.
Well, I understand that the World Trade Center transit hub now is going to be delayed even longer.
Well, I don't know whether we should. I'm not having focused on that because my job was to raise money for the memorial, which is on schedule.
Well, I was going to ask you, is that tentative now?
No.
Because of the Silverstein argument?
No, it has nothing to do with it. This is a separate project. It's on budget, on schedule. And Port Authority is doing the building, and they're doing a good job. And the fundraising continues, and there are a lot of generous people, and we're still raising money for the museum. That's one thing. There are three places for office buildings, towers 2, 3, and 4. Two of them are in what's called the East Bathtub. Maybe they're all in the same bathtub, but two to the south. And then there's the Calatrava designed Port Authority or path station, and then there's supposed to be another very tall building to the north of that. Silverstein, we have to build the two to the south because under that is all the infrastructure for everything else. That's where the chillers are and the power distribution and all of that stuff. So you can't not do it. Silverstein, we asked him to come up with something, he's done. And the Port Authority, it's their turn to do this. And I will push as hard as I can. They either should do this or just get out of the way. The city offered to take this whole thing over. Back when, if you remember.
It has been an amazing example of government
We couldn't have done a worse job. And they want to do it. Okay, now it's time to do it. And the time to do it is right now. If they procrastinate here, it's just going to get more and more expensive to do it down the road. Now's the time. And people say, well, there's no tenants. Yeah, that's the time you put a shovel in the ground so you have it ready when the tenants come back. But commercial real estate is starting to do a lot better in this city. And now's the time to do it.
Silverstein said he's going to take Tower 2 off. That was the latest this week.
He's willing to do two towers, and they're two that we have to do, and more scalable, smaller than, I forget the numbering. The big one would be, the Port Authority has already said, oh, it's too much of a risk. Okay, that's the one not to do, the biggest one. But the other two, we have to do the bases of them. In fact, if you go in the southeast corner, you'll see the steel. It's way above ground already. One of them's going up.
Yeah.
That's one. And then there's one. The next one we want is next to that. Silverstein's willing to put $250 million of his own money in there. I mean, it's just at this point, the Port Authority was created to do this kind of project. This is a Port Authority piece of property. The World Trade Center was the Port Authority. They cannot leave a hole in the ground down where this tragedy took place and slow down development of all of southern Manhattan. And I can tell you, I know I speak for example, Shelley Silva. Shelley Silva has tried as hard as he can. I don't always agree with Shelley, but boy, he's right on this one. We've got to get this going. And it's up to the two governors, incidentally.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The governors run the place.
Well, there's an argument that when they say to do it, sometimes the port doesn't even. But the executive director and the chairman, the executive director is appointed by the New York governor. The chairman, I think is his title, is appointed by the New Jersey governor. They serve at their pleasure. And the governors should say to them, you do this, or I'm going to replace you, and I'm going to replace you right now. We have a unique opportunity here. If we blow it this time, then I don't know how we ever put this back on track, because down the road it's going to cost a lot more. And nobody believes that that they want to do it. They're just, you know, everything is, you walk in the room and say, I'm trying to help. I don't care. I don't believe you. And they walk out. I'm exaggerating, but not by much.
And New Yorkers that live with this on a daily basis are incredulous that it has taken 10 years and we're only here.
Well, we have had 4 different New Jersey governors and 3 different New York governors in that 9 years.
But still the same.
I come back. We offered to do it back then. They didn't want to do it. Okay, now it's their responsibility.
All right. Well, we're talking real estate. Moynihan Station, I understand, some bucks have
around. Yeah, Chuck, Senator Schumer, called me the other day, and I think he's got some money in the federal budget, which will help, and we'll see what we can do with it.
Larry Seabrook and the allegations against the city councilman. The question, you know, whether or not those allegations will be adjudicated, and we'll find out whether or not he did or did not do what he is alleged. But the nonprofits and the way the city council breaks up their money, that's a dicey little thing, isn't it?
It is the ways that all Democratic legislatures work. At the federal level, senators, congressmen get to put in things for projects in their home districts. Same thing is true in the city council. Same thing is true in Albany. The argument for it is that they are better in touch with their local community and know what their local community needs in a ways that the federal, state, or city government, which is looking at a much bigger picture, can't know. A cynic would say it's also the way that they get support, but one of the reasons you might want to support somebody is whether they deliver the bacon for you and bring the things that you... There's nothing wrong with
where the money is going, necessarily. It's when it gets siphoned into the...
Our Department of Investigation is run by a woman, Rose Gilhern, who is as smart and honest as anybody I've ever met in my life. I have an agreement with her that we basically don't talk until she's ready to announce something that she's decided, and then tell me, because I never want anybody to think that I influenced, even with, you know, the tone of my voice when I said hello. Now, other mayors have had their DOI commissioners as part of their inner circle. I think this should be as far away as I can make it, but still exercise the responsibility that I have to make sure that it works and is honest and that sort of thing. And Rose will look at all of these things.
All right, the reach of the mayor of New York, specifically your reach, is legendary. We know what you did over in Staten Island with the groundhog throwing your life in front of that little four-legged
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
But you have
I beg your pardon. What about sympathy of a million? I still have a scar here. Come
that's
on.
What they're paying you for. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you're supposed to
I got my
be
W-2
doing.
A couple weeks ago. 93 cents again. Doesn't change.
93, they take 7 cents out?
7 cents out for FICA, yeah. They don't take out, they don't withhold for my federal income tax.
That's funny. Okay.
And I do put my W-2, I file that, but
oh,
I have not.
To.
Well, I was asked by somebody, did I think it was in a press conference appropriate that the Wall Street should withhold, firms should withhold bonuses till they find out whether the trades that these traders do long-term work out. And I said, great idea, as long as you withhold the monies from Congress till we find out whether or not their laws they pass work out. That didn't get me a lot of points, I don't think. But somebody pointed out, I've done exactly that. I have gotten 8 checks now, each one for 93 cents. I've not cashed one of them.
Really?
So I'm withholding my money to see whether or not all these things we're doing.
You take that as the 93 cents as a tax deduction? A charitable gift?
No. I haven't cashed it yet. No gifts.
I understand. Where I was going with this is that your name has become part of the campaign for governor in West Virginia over the gun laws. A guy by the name of Jeff Kessler says, Bloomberg, butt out. It has to do with the guns.
Not the cigarettes,
no,
right?
No, not the cigarettes, no.
You know, he's on the wrong side of this. The gun dealers, 1% of them are breaking the law, selling guns. In Virginia, they're not enforcing the laws, so we've tried to help them do that and do it legally. We've done it perfectly legally. The courts have ruled that every time. You know, it'd be funny, except that some of our cops get killed. Some young kids on the streets get killed by random shots. These are guns in the hands of people with criminal records, and the federal government says they can't have guns and you can't sell to them. And, you know, we're not even asking in this case for new laws. Just enforce the laws on the books.
Exactly.
But it is sick.
All right. I was happy to see about Coney Island. It's going to be open up.
It ain't going to be another Disney World or Disneyland, but it is going to be a resort that you can take a subway to or drive to or take a cab or a bus, and you don't have to pay to get in. And if you want to go on a couple rides, you just pay for those rides. You just want to walk around and have a hot dog. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't cost or anything. The beaches are all our beaches now. The Parks Department keeps them super clean and safe. Don't go in the water if there's no lifeguard. This will be a great resort. People say, oh, I can't envision it being Disneyland or Disney World. No, it's not going to be. It's going to be something different. And it, incidentally, is going to create a lot of jobs and value for the community. Coney Island, I think it's fair to say, has fallen on hard times. It's a nice way to phrase it. Worse than that. But this will bring it back. And we've worked very hard for a long time. Dominic Recchia, Dominic is a city councilman. He's the one that really has busted his tail in working and getting this done. Jerry Nadler's been helpful, and Diane Savino, and he's a congressman. She's a state senator. There's an assemblyman who has been helpful. But Dominic Recchia deserves the credit for this one.
All right, Mr. Mayor, as you can see, we have a full a batch of phones. We will get to those in just a moment. Your questions are next with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 10 before 9 o'clock. Coming right back.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, Mr. Rock. Didn't mean to step all over you. And in addition to Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling, we've got you on the telephone right there to Robert. You're up first. Your question for the mayor.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Revenue from taxes on cigarettes. I'm curious, does that go up? Because everyone that I know that smokes, I know, but they all get their cigarettes from out of state.
Well, that's one of the problems. They can get them from Indian reservations. We keep fighting that. Why the governor doesn't just stop that, I don't know. I've never got a good answer to that. And some of them do buy cigarettes from out of state. But in all fairness, Robert, it's a small number of people that buy them from out of state just because it's a long ways to schlep to go get it. And if you live in the middle of the state, it's a long ways to get out of state. But what does happen is when you raise cigarette taxes, smoking among kids goes down. They're very sensitive to the price. Adults have more flexibility, and they'll stop feeding their kids, some of them, before they give up their smoking. Kids stop smoking. And it generates a lot of tax revenue, which is why you've been able to get taxes like cigarette taxes through the legislature at a federal and state and city levels around the country. It does not, if everybody stopped smoking, it's true you wouldn't have any taxes. That'd be a better situation. But in the meantime, we use the money, and when you raise the taxes, cigarette smoking among kids goes down and tax revenues go up.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. Robert, thank you. Let's go to Bob in Annandale. Bob, you've got the mayor. Go.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. My suggestion is for job creation and to cut down on congestion. I've been trucking in and out of New York for the last 50 years. Trucks all over the place. The biggest problem is you have to go up into the building to make a delivery.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If there was a receiving man at the door, you could call it in advance with the cell phone. He gets okay to sign for the delivery.
Well, it's a great idea. You know, I think the ways you'd get buildings to do that, or stores or offices or factories, whatever, is to let them share in some of the savings. If they could, if you said, I'll deliver it for a little bit less, if there's somebody down there to take it so I can do more deliveries, I'll make more money, they'll save money. I think that's the ways to do it. It is a great idea. A lot of people have suggested having deliveries at nights and on weekends, and the trouble is the stores have to have more people and management on the weekends or at night, and then some people don't like the noise of deliveries at night and that sort of thing. I mean, the bottom line is, Bob, you're 100% right. You could make it a lot better, and that's a great idea. I hope some companies listen to you.
All right, Bob, good good for you. Let's move along to Ellen, or I'm sorry, it's Eileen. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. I was wondering if perhaps the MTA could get Nike or Ralph Lauren or somebody to sponsor the tickets for the children to get on the trains.
Well, it's an awful lot of money, and I don't know. I mean, if somebody wants to do it, we'd love to have it. The MTA has been creative in trying to get sponsorships. So you see now ads on the signs of buses. Some are electronic, and certainly you notice them. You see ads on the sides of subway trains now. Didn't happen before. They've tried to get sponsors to sponsor various stations. Citi Field, the subway station there, is named just with a street number, a name, because they would like to get a sponsor. Haven't been able to do that. Whether anybody would kick in a lot of money to give Metro cards to kids, it's an interesting idea. If anybody's out there listening,
there's two good ideas.
Eileen and Yonkers thinks it's a good idea. So does the mayor.
All right, Brian in Manhattan, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning.
Yes, hi. John. Mayor, a large number of family members are calling for a new 9/11 investigation, and 6 of the 10 commissioners have spoken out and called it a cover-up. Can you comment on that?
Well, there's no cover-up. I mean, if there's anything that's been investigated, it is this. It's a terrible tragedy. I think we know exactly what happened, and we know what we did wrong in terms of missing the signs and connecting the dots, and how it could have been prevented if everybody had learned the lesson from 1993, which they didn't seem to do. But, you know, at this point, another investigation isn't what we need. We have to find a ways to build a memorial that's appropriate and recover.
Have you had any more communication on the 9/11 trial?
I have not. I see in the paper. You know, I've expressed to the government again. We will do whatever we are called on to do. We'd like to have them pay for it. My preference would be if they did it anyplace else, and I have no real view because I'm not a lawyer, constitutional scholar, between military trials or civilian trials.
Ron in Bayside, you've got the mayor. Go.
Yes. Sponsored by the my foundation, there were a million trees that are going to be planted that are in the city itself. I was at a community board meeting, and I found out that the Board of Ed and the Parks Department agreed to planting of 13 trees, and these trees have been planted within a park, a city park. Now, I just don't understand the
rationale. What's the question?
The question is, aren't there more rational and logical places to put trees?
Oh, we put trees in streets. A million trees, a lot of trees, Ron. And we're putting trees on streets and trees in parks and trees around some of the NYCHA housing projects. And, you know, if you want to get involved, there are volunteers that help plant trees. If you want to give some money, Bette Midler is one of the people that deserves a lot of credit for her project. Has just been spectacular in helping us. And we've planted, last time I checked, it was close to 300,000 of the trees, 30%. So we're plugging along.
I see them doing it right around here in this neighborhood.
Mean, the trouble with trees on streets is sometimes people run into them and they don't take, because there's not a lot of dirt underneath the ground. There's limited places you can only do it in pots, and some places you can't dig in the ground because there's a subway right under there or pipes or something. But it's a great idea. It cleans the air and beautifies the city and makes property values go up.
Good deal. Mr. Mayor, our deal is up for this week. Thank you very much, as
always.
See
you next week.
Enjoy yourself, and we will indeed see you next week, next Friday, right here on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.